This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 306. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Why a supervillain prison is a bad idea. Grayson, Dick Grayson. Viva Captain Tight Pants. Cats Through the Looking Glass. And the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 1st, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Adventures of Superman number 13 by Moore and Rodriguez. It's Moore from the Digital First title. Seems to have moved away from the short stories that we were seeing several stories in one issue, and now we're back to more of a single story.
Why do you think that is?
I suspect it gets people more hooked into the digital stuff, because keep in mind, this probably came out as two or three or maybe four parts on like a weekly basis, rather than the way you see it in here. So this one is all about the Daily Planet and journalism. We get a lot of interplay from Clark and Lois and Jimmy and Perry. We get the classic Don't Call Me Chief. There's this rival journalist from the Metro Star who's been working a major story apparently for a very long time. He's just obsessed with it, about who is Superman. And at one point he corners Clark to just try to pump him for information, but Clark brushes him off. We see this reporter interview these supervillains in jail, which of course doesn't go well, as you would suspect.
I just can't imagine that you would be able to get permission to interview some of these supervillains.
You would think so. So there's cameos by Toy Man, Parasite, Terra Man, yes, a real character in 70s comics, an intergalactic cowboy supervillain.
Oh, goodness.
Atomic Skull, Kalibak, and Bizarro.
Hey, do you think Terra Man might have been a throwback to the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing? Because isn't there somebody... Well, maybe not.
I don't know when Guardians of the Galaxy started. I don't know if that dates back to the 70s or not.
Okay.
But why in the world would you put all of these supervillains in the same prison? It kind of goes back to the same question. Why do you let somebody interview these guys? Why are they all there together in the first place?
Well, I suppose if you know, it's sort of like giving them all to Star Labs or something. You know, you can keep them, you know, not have to have the equipment to contain supervillains in many different places. Although, as we will see, if then one supervillain breaks out,
then they all do, because in this case, the main villain is Metallo, who uses this power outage in order to break out of the place and causes, as you said, a mass escape. He takes the reporter as a hostage, and the reporter tells Metallo, look, I know the secret. The Daily Planet created Superman as a publicity stunt. Because, see, the planet always seems to get the scoop. Why is that?
And that makes sense.
Right. It makes far more sense than what is the reality.
And rather than even, like, they created Superman, they pay Superman to create these events so that they can follow
him. So Superman ends up saving the day, of course, and the reporter changes his tune in the end. Art by Gabriel Rodriguez, who's best known for his work on Lock and Key. Not sure really how well it fits with Superman, because everybody looks tired. Everybody, including Superman, seems to have, like, bags under their eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the heavy inking or something going on there. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I like the story, though. Nightwing number 30 by Seeley, King, Garone, Lucas, Janin, and Ortego. This is the final issue, and we'll learn why in just a second. But we start with a side story about Dr. Leslie Tompkins. I believe this is her first appearance in the New 52 universe. Previously, in other continuities, she helped young Bruce over his parents' death.
Well, and it seems like she did here, too.
Yeah. In one continuity, she actually had a relationship with Alfred. The difference is she was never brunette before. She was always a blonde before. She's working in the Congo at this aid camp, and these terrorists attack, who have some sort of game based on how many kills they can do. And she's saved by this mysterious woman in a metal mask. And if you believe the internet, this is Helena Bertinelli.
Well, why?
Apparently, there's been some hints from DC that she is. If you look at the first, what she's wearing at the first place, the costume is kind of, there's like an outline in the shape of a cross.
But why would she be in the Congo?
Who knows?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Then something happened to Leslie and she's not sure what happened. Was she interrogated to learn who Batman actually is? But then we cut to Alfred taking a tray down to the Batcave. He's, of course, grieving over the death of Dick Grayson from the events in Forever Evil, which, of course, we know he isn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce either cuts the power or the power is out. There's some damage to the Batcave. He says, well, just wait, because he doesn't want him down there. He doesn't actually say that. And the reason he doesn't want him down there is because Dick is down there. And Bruce and Dick are in the cave duking it out. Bruce wants to make sure that Forever Evil didn't change Dick.
Yeah.
It seems like a very weird way to go about it.
Yes.
Because most of the comic is them wailing on each other. And during the fight, Bruce explains his plan. Dick will stay dead to everyone but him. He will then infiltrate this group called Spiral, which apparently was referenced in the Batman Incorporated title, but I don't remember that at all.
Well, yeah.
This is some sort of organization that is tracking down capes. And apparently is the source of the Leslie Tompkins side story. Dick asks him how he can ask this of him, because after everything he's been through, and to not let any of his friends know that he's not dead. But eventually he agrees, which I think is a terrible thing to do from a storyline concept, because they were really establishing Dick Grayson as his own man.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, he's just another one of Bruce's puppets. We then see Dick Grayson on various adventures. One includes this flying pirate ship. What was that about? And Spiral offers him a job. So coming soon, Grayson number one. So he's going to be a spy now.
What I don't get is everybody thinks he's supposed to think he's dead. Wasn't Spiral supposed to think he was dead too? But they know he's Dick Grayson.
Right. Yeah, so they know he's alive.
That's stupid.
Well, but the
we'll have to see how this concept works out, but I don't think so.
You would think he would constantly have to wear a disguise, because the general public knows that Dick Grayson was Nightwing and Robin.
Yeah, I mean,
and they know his face. So he'd have to constantly wear a mask or something, and he's not.
Yeah.
At least in the preview shots.
Yeah, I just don't see how this is going to be a very good comic.
Yeah. Serenity, Leaves on the Wind, number 5 of 6 from Dark Horse by Whedon and Janty. So we are moving to the conclusion of this miniseries. Mal, River, and Jane run into these super soldiers, but Mal had a plan in case things went south. And he had this panic button that he could use to call in the troops, which was a callback to one of the original episodes of Firefly.
Yes.
Mal has now accepted his old role of being a leader of the Browncoats.
Now, see, this is sort of what bothered me, because he was never really a leader. He was a sergeant.
Right.
He had a platoon, you know, he didn't give up, but in no way, shape, or form could he have ever been called a leader. Now, I understand that now, after the events of the Serenity movie, that the Browncoats are looking up to him, but he really never had any experience in the nuts and bolts of running a rebellion.
Right. So there's this sword duel between these two assassins, one of whom gets the top of his head lopped off. Literally, the top half of his head just kind of slides off.
Yes.
That's a strong sword. Let me tell you, that is a sharp sword that can go through the skull and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the Browncoats swarm this installation and take the Alliance leader hostage. But it turns out he's actually happy about it, because he can now play exposition and tell what's going on. Because it turns out the Alliance has been funding the Browncoats in order to get them to come out into the open. Because otherwise, there were these small rebel guerrilla groups that were impossible to stop. But now, get them all together, get them to fight all as one, and now they can be wiped out once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Mal asks where Zoe is being held. Remember Zoe, who was supposed to be the main point of this story at the beginning?
Yes.
Who we haven't seen for like two issues, I think. So he won't talk, but that's not a problem since they have a psychic on board, River. There's a lot of loose ends to tie up in the last issue here.
I don't know. To me, it's been very hard to follow from issue to issue as well. Right. I might have to go back and reread the whole thing when the last issue comes out.
This one would definitely work better as a graphic novel, as a trade.
Yes.
Than the individual issues. Dead Boy Detectives number 6 from Vertigo by Lydon Buckingham. We're finishing off the second arc of the series, and we learn that cats can travel between universes, and one of the cats was a philosopher in a prior life. And meanwhile, Edwin is stuck upside down after going into the mirror room in the abandoned house, where there's this maid from the 1800s who's stuck halfway through a mirror and can't get out. And her charge, a young girl, is also stuck in the room, or basically staying with the maid.
I don't know. Are they dead, or?
They must somehow be dead, because what we learn later is they're not mortal. Charles is enamored of Crystal, who's wearing this cosplay outfit throughout the story. Edwin, Charles, and Crystal try to pull the maid from the mirror with no success. So the boys go talk to this mystic walrus who runs a magic shop, while the girls get acquainted and we learn that cats can talk. And the walrus tells them to push instead of pull the maid and to, quote, follow the cat. They return, they go through the mirror and push from the other side. The cat, who's also on the other side of the mirror with them, warns them not to do it. The mirror explodes and sucks them all in. They have to fight their way back out to the real world. Crystal can't breathe there, so apparently she's the only mortal in the group.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So the other two, the maid and the young charge, the girl in that room, can't technically be mortal. Something's changed about them. So they return, and then the gray cat comes through the mirror and becomes two cats, a white cat and a black cat. So now we can assume the philosopher was Schrodinger's cat, right?
That makes sense.
So the next arc is then introduced, who involves Charles' sister. This is a very whimsical title and very bizarre, but it's what you would expect from characters created by Neil Gaiman.
Right. But no longer written by him.
No. Well, the numbers are in for DC in April. I want to thank ComicsBeat.com and Diamond, who actually generates the numbers. At number 3, and this is out of the top 300 titles in the month of April, number 3, Batman at 108K. And then at number 4, 6, 8, and 10, Batman Eternal, this is the first four issues of the weekly series, at 105K, 84K, 79K, and 78K. All of these were returnable, so we'll see what happens when they're no longer returnable as the new issues come out. But as you can see, already a fairly respectable drop in four issues. Number 11, Justice League United at 68K. Now, this came out before the final issue of Forever Evil, so it was a little confusing as to know what was going on in this issue, because clearly it's happening after Forever Evil. Number 15, Harley Quinn at 63K. Wanted to note that the last three issues are basically at this same level, so apparently that title is stabilized around 63K, which is very good.
Yeah, I don't like
it. I know you don't
though.
Like the title, but numbers-wise, it's doing very well. Number 20, Batman Superman at 56K. This was in the middle of the crossover with World's Finest, but this was the one that published out of order. So it was after the end of the crossover.
Good job, DC.
Doing a fine job there. Number 21, Detective at 56K. It's also pretty much stabilized at that level. Number 25, Forever Evil Aftermath, Batman vs. Bane at 51K, except Forever Evil actually wasn't finished at that point. And it was really kind of a waste because it was mostly just like, oh, Batman and Bane are going to fight.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. And that was pretty much it. And at the other end of the scale, and all of these titles I'm about to mention have been canceled, I think what's happening is because of the weekly titles, and you mentioned this, I think, in a last episode, is that because of these weekly titles, we're starting to see them clean house of some of the stuff at the lower end.
Mm-hmm.
Number 284, The Movement, 5,700 copies, canceled. Number 214, Stormwatch, 8,000 copies, canceled. Number 195, Batwing, 9,300 copies canceled.
Finally.
Now, the thing that amazes me about this is it's not like it just suddenly went down to that level. Batwing had lower numbers for a while than the next few I'm going to mention, and yet they kept it on. And apparently editorial must have had some plans for the title, do something with the character, and then they abandoned it, because otherwise I don't know why it stayed so long. Number 163, All-Star Western at 12K, canceled. Number 160, Larfleeze at 12K, canceled. Boo. Number 145, Trinity of Sin Phantom Stranger, 14K, canceled. Number 142, Trinity of Sin Pandora, 15K, canceled. I can certainly understand why those two titles are gone, because they solely existed for Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Number 141, Superboy at 15K, canceled. And at 139, Birds of Prey at 16K, also canceled. Although I highly suspect Birds of Prey will quickly return.
Right. Now, Larfleeze, I have to say, was my favorite of the Green Lantern titles.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I may not be saying much.
Yes. It's not. But, yeah. Okay.
All right. Sorry, there's no Who's on the Cover this week. Due to there was no issue this week of Entertainment Weekly. Damn you, double issues!
Yes.
Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcasts. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at SFPPN or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.